Philippians chapter 1, beginning at 14. And many of the brethren who are pressing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of revenge and strife, the sumptuary of the good will. The one preach Christ with contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Much verse 14 we talked about last week, but just to review, many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. What is the bonds? Where is Paul as he writing this? Yeah, John?
He's in jail.
In what jail is it? Tell me.
Roman prison.
Roman prison. And why would some of the brethren wax confident by him being in jail? Why do you think that would happen? Why would they wax confident? Because of his imprisonment. Tammy?
Well, the Apostle Paul said in different places that he was preaching the gospel so much while he was in chains that all of Caesar's house knew about who he was and mm-hmm. who the Lord was. When they had all trusted him, I mean, obviously, probably not all of them, but there probably were a good number of them.
Mm-hmm. So they heard the conviction and the stories and the evidence of what he was doing in prison, so they were confident he was faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was bound in a Roman prison. And so that's important. And waxing confident by his bonds, manifest indeed. Much more bold to speak the word without fear. Why would they be more bold to speak the word without fear? Because Paul was in prison. What would activate them to speak without fear, do you think? Would it cause them to be put in prison, do you think? Yeah, Tammy.
Well, they saw Paul's courage, and so mm-hmm. they had courage.
All right. He was a good example, wasn't he? Even in prison, he didn't stop preaching. He didn't stop being a Christian. He was faithful to his Savior. Then in verse 15, some indeed preach Christ in two ways. What's the first way? What's the second way? And what do the both of them mean, John?
Envy and strife.
Why would they speak of envy? Preach Christ of envy. What would they be envious about? Any thoughts on that? Who would they be envious of? Maybe the Apostle Paul. See, he was doing great even in prison. What about strife? What is strife? How would you define that? It's a word. Tammy?
Conflict.
Conflict and argumentation, different things. Fighting. They didn't have Paul to guide them necessarily. He was in prison. He was a long ways away from Philippi. But they preached the strife. But on the other hand, there was others that preached how? In contrast to strife and envy.
Yeah, some of goodwill.
Goodwill. In other words, they were in good spirits, they were led of the Lord, and they had fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, all these things, and they preached without any fear, and also with goodwill. It's very good to have goodwill toward the friends that you have, and goodwill even toward the enemies. That might win them to Christ. And then verse 16, one in verse 14, preach Christ how? And what does that mean? And how not?
Yeah, it should be 16, but he said
14. Oh, did I say 14?
Yeah.
Well, the word 16, isn't it?
Did you finish 16?
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Goodwill, yes, but in verse 16, we're to preach Christ of contention. What would contention mean? And how would you tell?
Well, it kind of goes back to the previous verse, verse 15, mm-hmm. where they're preaching Christ of strife. So mm-hmm. in a competition, maybe, with the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like that's what they're...
Are there things to be contending about in the Christian faith? are the things that we're contending about.
Sure.
And earnestly contending for the faith. We've got to be sure that what we're preaching is correct. And so on. I talked to a man today on the phone. He was a former Roman Catholic. He came to Christ, and he hasn't been founded strongly, and he wants some materials, and so we're going to send him to you. I said, write me a letter and let me know what you need help with. He talked about Bob Thiem, and he didn't really know that there was plenty of errors there. He talked about John MacArthur. Talked about Gail Ripinger and various things that he needs to be taught on. And I'm glad that he's willing to be taught and to learn some of these things. He had never got in the Roman Catholic Church, and he's trying to learn and do better. He's got two defining things in his Bible, so he wants to order another one. He wants me to sign a particular one. But we have to preach Christ faithfully, sincerely, honestly, and as he says, and but and we're in verse 16, right?
16.
But this one, some in contention, but not these people. Not sincerely. Where would sincerity pass away in some people's preaching, do you think? How to get preached not with sincerity. What might they be not be sincere about? Yes, Tim?
Might not preach the whole counsel of God, because
you want
everyone to come, and you don't want to offend anyone, so you don't tell them
because of
what the Word of God says.
Yes,
and so, yes,
along with what Tam was saying, she was referring more specifically to church growth movements, looking at the numbers of the attendance, not wanting to offend anybody, but also in the health and wealth gospel, how they twist it to get the money. They're not sincere.
So, Christ of contention, not sincerely. Supposing I had affliction to my boss, how could the preaching afflict Paul and have more affliction of his bones, you think?
Well, it seems like it all goes back to the fact that they have envy and strife in their hearts. So it's like they want to compete with the Apostle Paul. And so because they are their heart isn't pure before the Lord, they're not preaching the gospel because they want people to know and be saved. They want to look bad before men.
And when Paul hears of the church and what they're doing, I'm sure that he would be upset if they weren't doing the right thing, like if goodwill is mentioned in verse 15. To add affliction to my bonds. If Paul hears that his church back at Philippi is doing wrong, certainly that would be affliction. He would really be very upset about that. Anna?
Is this necessarily referring specifically to Philippi? It seems like it would be brethren. It's brethren in the Lord. It seems like it would be all over the place, not necessarily Philippi.
That's true. It says the brethren in the Lord, verse 14, so it'll be all different places. But he's writing, yes, Dan.
Well, their motivation seems to be to add affliction to him, because he's already in chains, and he's in prison, and so they want to make it worse for him. But it doesn't seem like they succeeded based on what the verses following say, because he rejoices that the gospel is preached no matter what. It doesn't seem like he's upset about it.
And then verse number 17, but the other, what does he refer to the other? What other is he referring to here, Anna?
Oh, it's like they're not by preaching Christ of contention and not sincerely. It's like their primary goal, it seems, might have deviated from preaching the gospel to trying to.
And the word other,
yes.
What do you think the other refers to? Yeah, John.
Those of goodwill.
Those of goodwill, okay.
The other people.
The other people that he's talked about in earlier verses there.
Yeah, in verse 13.
And they preach of love. And loving for Christ, loving for the gospel. What do they know about Paul and his position in this verse number 17? What does this church know about Paul and his convictions?
Actually, we didn't read 17 yet.
Well, how many of us have
we read 14, 15, 16.
Oh, okay. Well, 16, verse, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. It's strange that people would preach Christ in a mean manner or a different manner or not in a lovely manner, but a contention, not sincerely. What would a preacher be like if he did not preach sincerely the Word of God? What would be some of the marks of an insincere preacher? Tammy?
The works of the flesh.
Works of the flesh?
And all the sins of the flesh that are
found in Galatians.
Sins of the flesh, John. Evil shepherds leading the flock astray.
Yes, lead the flock astray and
not giving them. Not much in, I think it's Jeremiah and Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not giving them courage to stand for the Lord. And so we start, we didn't read 17 yet?
No.
Let's read 17, 18, and 19. But the other of love, knowing that I have sent for the defense of the gospel, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in presence or truth, Christ is preached, and I therein rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your credit. And then supply the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Very important questions. Those listening at other places, give us a call, 856-261-9018, or questions at bftbc.org. I'd like to hear from you. Have a question, just say hello. I'd like to hear from you. We're listening to us on the Internet. So, in verse number 18.
17.
Oh, 17. Yeah, okay.
We started with
17. We always started with the other of love. Now I've asked, what is Paul set for? What is Paul set for, Danny?
The defense of the gospel.
There are some people who are set, means they don't want to move in any way. But there's things that we ought to be set for. I talked to this gentleman that called, who was former Catholic, and one of the things we discussed was, how did the Bible come to us, and what is God breathed and what isn't? I said there's many questions. I talked about Gale Ripperton, for example. He had a lot of material somewhere originally. I said, well, I left her when I asked her about her marriage, or marriages, plural. My wife and I were friends for many years. She spoke one time at the Dean Bergen Society. But when she said she only had one husband, and I had already checked the state where she was living, or formerly, and I found from them there were three husbands. And I told the man, I said, when I found that she lied to me about her husband, we broke fellowship completely. But also she's a terrible person about inspiration, and says that the Bible, the King James Bible, is given by God breathing instead of excellent translations. She's off on that too. And I told her we have a number of books on different things that you may be interested in, but these are very serious matters. She has changed many things of what she used to believe, as well as keeping the things that she is wrong in. Paul said he's set. What does it mean to be set for the gospel? What would be involved with that? Are some not set? Yeah, 10.
It's firm.
Right?
Determined.
He's determined, and the doctrines that are true and scriptural, he's established in, he's not going to change. We should not change either. The doctrines of the faith is there. Set the gospel. What is the gospel? And do some distort the gospel? How do they? He's defending it. What does he do to defend the gospel? How would you defend the gospel? Hands on that. Pastor Dan?
The gospel is a simple salvation that God has provided for mankind in providing the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became man, sinless man, impeccable man, lived a sinless life. He died, offered up a vicarious atonement upon the cross of Calvary, and rose again the third day. Now He's forever in heaven, making intercession for the saints, those that have put their trust in Him. those that acknowledge the fact that they are a sinner and their righteousness cannot obtain any merit with God whatsoever. It's only the righteousness of God, or rather Christ, that can satisfy a holy God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Tammy.
In verse 7, we talked about how he was in bonds and he was in the defense of and a confirmation vote. Mm-hmm. So he was both defending and confirming mm-hmm. the gospel.
There's some things that we talked with this gentleman who was Roman Catholic formerly. And as far as John MacArthur, I said we have a book, The Heresies of John MacArthur, you might want to take that, but I told him that John MacArthur denies that the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood, and the shedding of his blood is a basis of forgiveness and so on. He simply says death is the same as blood. That's John MacArthur. So defending the gospel, you have to defend the fact that it's not simply that he died. All of us die, but when we shed our blood, that's not the atonement for the sins of the world, as Christ's blood was. So he said for the defense of the gospel, we should be the same. Well, one of the things that some people deny is that only those that are generally trusted Christ are saved. They have universalism. I said, that's not the gospel. But if Pastor Nancy has something there.
This is from Maine. A pastor sending warm greetings to you and to all our BFP church family. Thank you very much for this evening's Bible study. How grateful we are to the Lord for each and every one of you. God bless you and his love. Carl and Vicki.
Carl and Vicki, have us waved to Carl and Vicki over. Carl from Maine, the state of Maine.
Hello.
Long ways over. All right, so that was verse 17. Defense of the gospel. We should be in defense of the gospel. Are there false gospels around in our nation and around the world?
Yes.
If so, what are some of the false gospels that need to have the right gospel defended against?
I was just going to say, Dr. John MacArthur,
mm-hmm.
he also believes in Lordship salvation.
Yes, that's one
so
of
you
his.
You have to make Christ Lord of your life before you can be saved.
Yes, that's right, that's one of his doctrines. He's got about 5 major heresies, and that's one, as well as the other, salvation by the death rather than the blood of Christ. Any other things about these other gospels? They call themselves a gospel, but it's false. What about the people? The question that man asked me again today was, do you believe that you can lose your salvation once it's genuinely found?
No.
No, you can't do that. Some teach that. And so all these things are false. Unitarianism, universalism certainly is a false gospel. Everybody says so. Forget about it. Yeah, Bill, and then Tammy.
Yeah, some other false gospels are in the Apocrypha.
Yes.
And him being a Catholic, he's probably somewhat familiar with those.
Mm-hmm. Much false there, is Tammy.
They were saved by works.
Saved by works.
Good works or sacraments or
yes.
Anything that we do for the mm-hmm. do for the Lord saves us. Mm-hmm. Doesn't save us at all.
No, it doesn't. Or pay giving tithes as an offering when you save us, all these different things. So we're in 18 now, are we?
Yes.
He says, notwithstanding. Everywhere, every way, whether in pretense or truth. Now, what would be preaching Christ in pretense? Tell me.
It would probably be defined as those from verse 15 that were preaching Christ of envy and strife.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't really genuinely interested in sharing the gospel with people. They just mm-hmm. wanted to promote themselves.
Yes, questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a comment or question on any of these things about what we're talking about. You think of people that are in big, big churches and they get sometimes hundreds and hundreds and sometimes even thousands. Do they preach the genuine, full, straight doctrine,
no.
gospel? They, if they do, they couldn't stay. Those people leave. They can't stand this thing. Pastor Dan, is that something?
Yeah, two people walked you in the city, one from this is from Eastern Elroy. So we got Maine and Elroy.
All right.
Happy hello from Wendy B. in Wisconsin.
Barbarian.
She's living in Elroy. I'm sorry, Wendy. She's in Wisconsin now.
Wisconsin.
Yep. Wendy, Wisconsin, in the main family. Hello from Wendy B. in Wisconsin. Thank you for this evening's Bible study. You are a blessing. Wishing Wendy Kosick a happy birthday. Well, happy birthday, Wendy Kosick.
Yes.
Wendy B., Wisconsin.
We wish a happy birthday to you, our Christian friend. And may our Heavenly Father, his kindest blessings, sing a happy, happy birthday, all beautiful with love, and bright with many blessings from God, our friend above.
Amen.
You want to say your part?
What do I say? May prayers on the day of thy birth, may gladness and sunshine be given. May our dear Father prepare thee in heaven, prepare thee on earth for a wonderful birthday in heaven. All right, thank you. It's been a while since you forgot that. All right, so the gospel sometimes makes many people angry. If you preach it straight, there it is. That's a 1 hour. But we'll take a little time for questions or comments if you have any further things to say. And get this. Yeah, Anna.
Is it correct, am I interpreting the context correctly, that even those that were preaching Christ out of the envy and strife were genuine believers? He said many of the brethren in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that...
That possibly so. Can even those that are saved preach false things?
Yes.
Oh, yes. They could preach and believe false things. And... any other comments or questions before?
I know we say many in the Lord.
Many of the brethren in the Lord, verse 14.
Brethren in the Lord.
It says some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So I was thinking that both the sums were described as being brethren in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you say?
So we have got to preach the gospel, biblical gospel, even those that people don't want to hear it, to make it pretty straight. It starts with not alone our sinners, men and women, boys and girls, lost, bound for hell, and the Lord Jesus died for all of us, not simply for the elect or something. It's a very important thing that we're not only have the correct gospel, but are not ashamed to preach it and talk about it faithfully. Any other comments or questions before we close? All right, John, would you close in a word of prayer, please, for us?
Yes. Great, tell me.